I'm Lori Robinson. I'm the host of CCWC Live Blog Talk. And with us today, we have Judge Glenda Hatchett. Judge Hatchett, she lives a life of purpose and impact. Judge Hatchett has had an illustrious career that spans working as in-house counsel at Delta Airlines while simultaneously heading media relations. When she left Delta, she served as judge in Fulton County Juvenile Court, where she impacted the lives of many children and families. This position ultimately prepared and catapulted her to have her own syndicated show, Judge Hatchett. In addition to being a best-selling author, she served on the Gap Inc.'s corporate board and is currently on the board of the Atlanta Falcons. Judge Hatchett, thank you so much for being with us today.
I am thrilled. I have been so looking forward to this. Thank you so much for having me tonight.
Oh, it's an honor. You know, you've had an interesting career path. Let's start with Delta Airlines.
Okay.
Corporate Council Women of Color actually last year conducted a study where many of our in-house respondents concluded that their law departments were flat with little room for growth. Many cited an interest in transitioning to work in one of the business units at their company.
Mm-hmm.
Now, while at Delta, you held dual roles, one in the legal department in litigation, the other role was heading media relations. Question one for you, how should in-house lawyers approach moving into a business unit or taking on a dual role within their company?
Absolutely. The first step I would suggest is that you've got to make your interests known. Now, that's kind of counterintuitive to what happened to me for the women who were there as we gathered last month. You know that I ended up going on an emergency basis after the company unfortunately suffered or had an incident with a second crash, fatal crash in the same city. And so the CEO said, we want her there. Not just now, but we want her there. And so when the CEO says he wants you to move, I mean, you say, okay, how quickly, as I said, in that situation. But had that not happened, and for anybody who has an interest, I would say the first and primary thing is you have to make your interest known. And then try to determine if there's one or more persons who will champion your move within the company. You know, so you can't just sit at your desk and say, oh, I wish, if no one really understands that you are interested in moving. Now, the thing that I would caution the listeners tonight is that you've got to really ask yourself, what is the end game? If the end game is that you ultimately want to be general counsel of your company, then it may or may not be the right move to move into a business section of the company. For example, I know a senior VP in human resources who really absolutely more than anything in the world wants to be the general counsel. But because she has been out of that mix and there are people who have different kinds of experiences that she has not had, it probably isn't going to happen. And then the other thing I would say, too, is that just be realistic about it and what it is that you want and look at what the possibilities are.
You mentioned at the conference that you really enjoyed working at Delta, and you had planned to retire there but received the telephone call to become a judge on the bench. And I note that you had no prior experience for the media relation job at Delta, and
None.
You had no prior experience as a judge for the bench, yet you took on both opportunities. There had to be a lot of fear in this. How did you overcome your fear of uncertainty in navigating an uncharted territory?
I absolutely had to decide. I had to decide very early on that I had to balance faith and fear so that my faith had to be bigger than my fears. And one of the things that I would really, and it sounds very simplistic, but I know this to be true, that I asked questions and I listened carefully. And I think one of the things that has really served me well in my life is the trait is that I am an excellent listener. Ask questions and listen carefully. And so, for instance, the transition at Delta to go over to do media relations, as you mentioned, I had no clue. It was a different world, and the rules were different, very different. I mean, you had a lawyer do something, you could always go to the court, you could seek sanctions. I mean, there were rules of procedure, but a reporter might do something and the recourse, you just have different kinds of recourses. And if you got a retraction, it might be on page 35, you know, 3 or 4 days later. And so it was very, very different. But what I had to get over, and I say this with great emphasis, is that you have to get over making a mistake, particularly if it's new ground, it's something you don't know anything about. And so two things. I ask a lot of questions. I listen carefully. I call people who I thought could help me understand. So I call Ed Bradley at 60 Minutes because he was a family friend. I called a local anchor woman because I highly respected her. And the question I ask, tell me what I need to know. I had to have the attitude that I would learn from my mistakes and keep it moving. And in fact, I actually told myself, and I still tell myself, that there is no such thing as a mistake as long as I'm trying to get it right. I'm just in the process of getting to this right place on it. And so I would just say that you have to take it day by day. You have to, again, your faith in yourself has to be bigger than the fears that you're encountering. Don't be afraid to make a mistake. Figure out you're going to learn from it and keep it moving. And I had to say, I'll do the best I can. I'm never going to second guess myself. Once I've made the decision, I let it go, and I had to move on to the next case.
Now, what was interesting at the conference, we had a great panel on stagnation. We asked whether people were on the road to corporate progression or corporate stagnation within their careers. And this required our attendees to do some form of a self-assessment. In your book, you say, and I love it, get real about your reality. Why is such an exercise important, especially in assessing where you are in your career and on your job at your present company?
I will tell you that the worst thing we can do is lie to ourselves. And you do. You have to get real about your reality. You've got to take charge, and you've got to hold yourself accountable. The questions that you have to raise, really, is it really a lack of opportunity? Is it racism? Is it sexism? And I am not discounting any of those as major issues that we as women of color deal with in corporate America. I want to be real clear on that. But then you also have to understand and question each of us, and I'm putting myself in this too. We have to ask ourselves, have we allowed ourselves to slip into a place where we are looking at ourselves as a victim? And I'm going to tell you, that is a dangerous place to get to. Have we slipped into a place that we think that everything around us is working against us, and we take on a victim's mentality? And I will tell you, I mean, you know, in the first chapter of that book, I talk about just this whole life lesson from my grandmother's sister, my great aunt, who asked me, you know, she said, do you want to be a lawyer, when I was whining and complaining? And the life lesson was, she said, baby, if it were easy, everybody and their mama would be able to do it. And so we've got to ask ourselves the questions. If it isn't working the way we want it to work, one of two things has to happen. Either we will continue to suffer in the situation, or we will figure out how and where to move. That how and where are the two critical pieces of this. Maybe it's a move internally. As we talked about earlier, maybe it's someplace else in the company, in a different division of the company, or maybe it's a move that is radically different from where you are now and what you've got to do. And so the exercise I would challenge us to do tonight is that really there's no in between. I mean, either you got to stay where you are or you got to figure out how to move it and make it better. And so I'd say take a piece of paper, get quiet, you know, draw the line down the center. There's going to be two pieces of this. And, you know, write down the pros and then write down the cons about your situation. I mean, what is working, what is not working? And then further down on that paper, I need another two columns that you're going to list the problems that you're facing. And then you're going to sit down, I mean, and really be realistic about what those solutions are. And it's at the end of the day, it really is about taking charge of our realities.
And in your book, and you said this also at the conference, and for me, I just found it very inspirational. But you said you need to define your own sky. And you also said, you know, when things don't go well, don't get angry. Figure out how to win. Now, there is a reality that some people on this call, they're going to ask for a promotion. They'll be denied that promotion. They're going to ask for training development opportunities. It's not going to happen. The pay raise may not happen as well. What pearls of wisdom can you share in defining your own sky and figuring out how to win? How do we achieve these things?
Yeah. I want to backtrack just a second to tie in another footnote on the first question we talked about, Lori. And that is, if it is not working where you are, we talked about the whole survey that you did, that so many people talked about the opportunities being flat, looking for a champion, as I talked about, but also keeping your ears and eyes open. What's happening in these other divisions of the company? Who's retiring? Who's getting promoted? Who's leaving the company? Where are there some openings? And then after you identify that, you know, depending on the corporate culture, and I realize that corporate culture varies from place to place to place, but if it is appropriate, I would encourage you to then see if you can sit in. Of course, also time and balance of your work you already have to do is a factor. But to the extent that you can make the time, find the time, and if they are open to it, why not ask to sit in a strategy session of the upper management in that particular division that you might be interested in? Is there a retreat? Can you come? Can you be a part of that? Can you get some more information? Who there might help you? Who might mentor you? Who might share information? But at the end of the day, let me say, and I'm just using this as an example to make the broader point, that you have got to figure out what value you bring to the table. It's not enough to say, I want a promotion. It's not enough to say, I want to make this move, whether it's a lateral move or whether it's a promotion within the company, that you want to get into a different sector of the company. You have got to decide what makes you unique and invaluable to that particular department head. So, for instance, I have so many young lawyers, not necessarily always young, judge, well, maybe I need to run out and get an MBA. Well, the department you're looking at may already have 20 MBAs. What then makes you different? Maybe the MBA might be a good reason to do it, but maybe it's not. Maybe what you bring to the table is very different from the people that are already there because you've had a background in transaction, because you understand the global economy. Whatever it is, play to your strengths. Do not let other people put you in these boxes. Oh, well, she's a lawyer, and so she certainly can't think creatively in a marketing job. You define your own sky. And by definition, you have to take ownership of who you are, going back to our getting real about your reality, about your strengths, what you need to improve on, and what ultimately you can contribute in this company. And I'm telling you, you've got to be very strategic about that, because just as you're thinking about this, so are other people thinking about this. One other important footnote, so many things we want to cover tonight, but let me just say this. When I went in to deal, to have the responsibility of media relations, let's be very clear that the person I had to report to was not happy that I was there. I mean, let's be real clear about this. Who is this lawyer handpicked by the CEO coming into here? And people were very, very, very threatened, frankly, and I'm being as candid as I can be. And I will tell you that the person that was most helpful and who I learned the most from was a secretary in that department who this day is still an ally and a friend. Do not overlook resources that may be available to you because you don't think they have the title associated with it. That woman taught me so much, and I will always be forever grateful to her. So, long story short, got to decide what your objectives are, and you've got to really, really be very strategic in how you get there. But don't let anybody else define you.
I love this story that you tell about when you were in the first grade during the time of segregation. The books you had, they were torn. You asked for a new book. Your teacher responded, "Glenda, colored children don't get new school books." You ran home. You told your dad, and he just simply told you, "Glenda, write your own book." Can you share ways our listeners can be victorious in their situations by writing their own book?
That is probably one of the most meaningful life lessons that I've ever had. And, of course, at six, I didn't understand and could not process it. But really what my dad was telling me is that I don't care what the situation is, I don't care how many hurdles there are, I don't care how hard it gets, you have got to write your own story. And the book of life, as I said at the conference, is marred by all kinds of challenges and things that are really beyond our control sometimes. And that's when we have to really dig really deep in our souls, Lori. We have to really dig deep. And all of these threads are really related about taking charge, being realistic, not seeing ourselves as victims, but seeing ourselves being victorious in our lives and defining who we are. Because when we give up defining who we are and give up writing our own story, our own book, then we have lost. She who defines rules. And we must define our own purpose, our own lives, our own sky. And once we have someone start boxing us in with the glass ceiling, with the concrete ceiling, with the steel ceiling, however you want to define it, then we have given up the power to someone else. And I'll tell you, you can never win if we relinquish that power in our lives.
That is great, and that's such an inspiration. Okay, I'm going to go now to the phone lines. If anyone has a question for Judge Hatchett, I think you can press 1 on your telephone, and then we will ask you to ask your question. So if you have any questions, press 1 on your telephone line. Okay. Telephone number ending 8639. You can ask your question now.
Hi, Judge Hatchett. I have a question regarding, and it's coming from a student. I'm interested in corporate counsel, but yet I find that a lot of the opportunities out of law school requires extensive amount of experience. So what other opportunities might you suggest to a law school student preparation for a career in corporate counsel?
That is, I do know that to be true, that there are more and more law departments who are requiring prior experience. And I will tell you that, I think probably the most obvious piece of this is that you go and see who they're using as outside counsel. And it might be a good way to work your way back through that by having had experience, by having represented them in a law firm position as you apply to be in-house counsel. I was fortunate because I was able to move from a federal clerkship directly into the department, and so I had that advantage as I did that. But I would think that you would also want to look at the background of lawyers who are already in that department. How did they get there? What track did they take? What law firms did they come from? Did they come from other companies? And so I would just kind of trace it back, particularly if there are, if you have a select group of companies that you're particularly interested in targeting.
Judge Hatchett, I'm curious. How did the Judge Hatchett show come about?
I'll give you the 2-minute version, the 60-second version of that. They came to me. Sony Television came to me. Actually came to someone I knew and said, we're trying to get in touch with the judge. I said to Nancy Girl, listen, I'm not interested in this stuff. Da-da-da-da-da-da. I'm a real judge. And she said, Gwendolyn, look, you know, just take the call as a favor to me. I wanted to take a little time off, be at home, do some writing, do some consulting, but my goal was to get back into corporate America so that I would be able to send my children to college. I mean, I had gone through a divorce. I really needed, a different kind of a job. I mean, I really did. So it was in that hiatus that Sony came to me. I said, absolutely not. This is, you know, I take this stuff seriously. And they said, what would it take to get you to consider doing it? And I said, I'd have to develop the show. And so that's why I'm very proud to tell you that my show is very different, that we do interventions with children and families. If I send a kid to treatment or I send a parent to treatment, Sony pays for it. I mean, it's just the way that I insisted that I do it, because at the end of the day, my name is on that show. My daddy's name is on that show. My family has to watch it. I want my sons to be proud of me. But that was a very different, again, radical change in my life, that if you had said to me, you know, you're going to have a TV show, I'd say, you know, we're going to get you some help. It was unexpected. And off in a very different direction than I had anticipated my life going.
We have people who are on this call. Some of them want to start their own business, their own company.
Yes.
You've been able to start your own foundations. What recommendations do you have for those looking to start their own company on ways that they can make their dreams a reality?
I think you've got to be clear, number one, you got to want it bad enough. I mean, it just can't be a whim. You've got to really, really, really want it. And if you really want it, then that means there's a certain degree of passion that comes with it and gets behind it. And then number two, I would say that you've got to put some benchmarks around it. And when I say that, I mean not just kind of like I'm wishing this to happen. Okay, in the next 6 months, I expect these things to happen. And then the third one is it's really tough, and I have fallen short on this. I have to admit, I have fallen short on it. But the challenge is to challenge yourself every day to take one step. I don't care how small it is, one step that gets you closer to your dreams. And so I would encourage you to break them up. To set these goals and then to do them in 180-day increments, because that's a chunk that you can kind of get your mind around. So you're going to have a bigger plan a year out, 2 years out, 5 years out, but then you're going to break it down in chunks that keep you accountable, that keep you really reaching for it. And then, of course, if you don't meet the goal, and, you know, at the end of these 30 days, you say, okay, by this time I'm going to have this done. I mean, don't panic. You simply readjust it, but you readjust it with the commitment back to yourself that I am recommitting to getting this done. And so that is the succinct answer. You've got to believe in your dreams, first of all. I should have put that as the number one. And then after that, you got to want it bad enough. You got to put some benchmarks around it. And you got to challenge yourself. And if you get in the habit of challenging yourself every day, just one little small, I don't care how small you think it is, and keep a journal if necessary to say, okay, today I did X to do to move the ball forward. And then if you kind of look at this journal and you haven't done anything in the last 2 weeks, then you got to have a chat with yourself. Do I have the time? Is this really a priority? Is this really what I want to do? And really ask yourself again, getting real about your reality, am I really committed to this or do I need to take on something else? And so it's always kind of a reevaluation. But if you don't set these benchmarks, then your dreams never become realities. They just become these wishes that you have. And you don't want to look up and look back on your life and wish you had.
And I think we have a question from a caller.
I have a question. I work in a corporation where there is no real presence of African Americans in the company. No GM level people, no vice presidents. I'm the only African American attorney, and it's a Fortune 200 company. And I struggle with our approach overall with the company, because we don't really seem to care much about diversity or anything really to that effect. And I'm just wondering if you could recommend any survival tactics such that, and I've been there for 20 years.
Ooh.
And,
wow.
Yeah.
And so in the 20-year span, you've not seen the needle move at all?
Not, well, I won't say
I
it
mean,
hasn't
20 years,
at all.
You're still the only attorney.
I haven't always been. I was there by myself for like 5 years. And then we had an African-American general counsel, which was very significant. He retired a year ago. And another significant person that was there for about 6 or 7 years left earlier this year to be a general counsel. But it's back to the way that it's been before.
Let me ask you quickly.
I just feel like we're going backwards. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let me ask you quickly. Is the relationship with the general counsel that retired such that you could go off the record, off-site, have coffee with him? I'm not talking about a restaurant near the corporate headquarters. I'm talking about someplace that it's not likely that people are going to look and wonder what you guys are talking about. But is that a conversation that you can have with somebody who has some history in your corporation and who understands the politics, which we all know, you've got to understand the politics, and the corporate culture of how you frame this discussion and you have it at a level that it makes sense. Now, I will tell you, I have sat on 3 Fortune 200 boards, right? I mean, I've been very fortunate. And they're very different companies. But what I will tell you, and I know to be true, that until and unless this is a mandate from the top, this is not something that bubbles up from the bottom easily. I mean, I'm just being as realistic with you as possible. So that's why I'm wondering if a conversation with the retired general counsel might be beneficial to help you begin to frame how you have this conversation. Got to get your ducks in a row, because really, honestly, you probably have one good shot at the ear of the person in that company who can make this happen. And you want to make sure that you have lined up all of your pieces so that you come in with as strong a shot on this as possible. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. It absolutely does.
One of the good things about having Judge Hatchett, she will also be providing job coaching sessions. And one of the things we will be doing with Corporate Counsel Women of Color, so look to our website and look to our listserv. We are going to provide, we'll have a raffle of sorts, and we will provide winners of that raffle with 3 one-on-one coaching sessions with Judge Hatchett.
Oh,
Judge
that
Hatchett,
sounds
fantastic. I want to thank you so much for being with us tonight. You provided us with so many great pearls of wisdom.
Oh, I'm just so respect the work that you're doing. And I, as I said, for me, it was a homecoming last month that I, if I'd only had you all when I started my career eons ago at Delta Airlines. And I just really wish you every success, I mean, to everybody on this line. And then know that I am cheering you on. Lori, you know how to find me. I'll make sure you have my cell phone number. If there is ever anything in any ways that I can be of support to this marvelous network of women, I am here for you. And that's the God Heaven truth.
Well, thank you so much. And we will be in touch as we notify you about the winners of the raffle who will be able to have the sessions with you one-on-one coaching survival in corporate America. Those of you who joined us via telephone and on our internet, we want to thank you for joining us. And our next CCWC radio show will be next Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with Trudy Bourgeois. Everyone, have a great evening, and thank you so much for tuning in.